Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
As we approach Memorial Day, The Takeaway is going to spend the next few weeks looking at the challenges military families face, from finding love, to finding work, to finding good housing. One-third of all military families live in privatized housing. That's about 700,000 people. And the private real estate companies are pulling in billions of dollars in profits. But many of the families living in those developments say they found themselves in substandard conditions.
We're talking about lead paint, mold, mice, cockroaches, falling ceiling, leaking roofs.
That's Deborah Nelson, an investigative reporter and journalism professor at the University of Maryland. Last year, she worked on a Reuters investigation that revealed deteriorating and unsanitary conditions in privatized military housing.
Members of the military expect to take risks when overseas in service of their country, but not with their families in their homes back here, yet they do.
The military says they're working on the issue, but Deborah Nelson says the stories of the families she spoke with have stayed with her.
So many families that we interviewed just had heartbreaking stories. The woman from Keesler Air Force Base, who, while deployed in Afghanistan, her life at risk, was more worried about her children back home because they lived in a mold-infested house and were getting sick. You know, Sharon Limon at Camp Pendleton, her family, they were among about a couple dozen Marine families that I met at Camp Pendleton who were battling infestations of rodents, bugs, mold, fungus, mushrooms growing out of the carpet. This is in housing run by Lincoln Military Housing. Lincoln's a giant real estate company. One thing that Sharon said that really stuck with me, and it's something I heard from many families, was that, you know, she and her husband had been prepared to make sacrifices for their country. What they had not expected in her case were the mice, a year-long battle with their landlord to get the problem addressed, and not just a few mice. They had dozens chewing through food containers, peeing all over the carpet. She'd pick her baby up out of the crib and find mouse feces on his leg. I mean, she said mouse poop was among his first words. And the landlord, Lincoln Military, blamed her housekeeping and really made her feel bad about it. And that really wasn't unusual. What we found there and across the country is that families were being blamed in numerous creative ways for all manner of problems. And their pets were being blamed. You know, across that same base, a family dog was blamed for a carpet so wet for so long that it eventually sprouted mushrooms. And their baby learned to walk in rain boots. Turned out to be a major roof leak. Then Lincoln blamed the weather.
This is a disgrace. And I'm wondering who is in charge.
We had a hard time finding anybody who would take responsibility. There are about 200,000 homes on bases that have been privatized. Back 20 years ago, Congress privatized base housing because it was even in worse shape than it is now, due to years of neglect by the military. The idea, you know, is to turn over the keys to private companies that had experience managing residential properties and who could raise private capital. And it worked for a while. You know, the housing did improve, but the companies were given these 50-year contracts that provided for almost no oversight, no effective oversight by the military, and provided tenants with very few rights.
Who are these companies? And when we talk about private companies, are they private landlords that a lot of us would have heard of? Or are these private equity firms? Do we know who's actually making money here?
The companies, you know, also run civilian real estate. They're probably familiar to many of our listeners. Lincoln Companies, Hunt Companies, Corvias, Balfour Beatty. They're some of the biggest landlords in the country.
What kind of money are we talking about here? What kind of money are these folks making?
Well, the problem is that the government won't say. How much money these companies are paid is a secret. We've been able to dig up a few clues, and we're talking about millions of dollars in revenues are flowing into each company each year. How many millions, we don't know, because the government says it's a secret, a trade secret.
Well, it's a trade secret, but people have to pay rent, right? Military families are paying rent to these companies and are also living in disgraceful conditions. I'm not sure what the military means by a trade secret, but that seems to be a disconnect here.
I agree.
Who's looking over their shoulder? Deborah.
There was nobody looking over their shoulder. What we found was that the contracts gave a lot of autonomy to these private companies to run the housing. The contracts actually gave ownership of the houses in a long-term lease on the land to these companies. And military base officials had very little authority to intervene. So when tenants, when military families would complain up the chain of command, there was little the chain of command could do to fix those conditions.
How did you learn about this story, Deborah?
Military spouses contacted us. The first calls were about lead paint hazards in homes. Darlena Brown, an Army wife at Fort Benning, whose young son he suffered permanent developmental damage from lead poisoning, reached out. It was too late for her son, but she really wanted to prevent other families from that sort of pain and suffering. So my reporting partners, Josh Schneer and Andrea Januta, began investigating, and they found lead hazards weren't a problem confined to one home or even one base. You know, meanwhile, we started hearing from other families about severe mold and rodent infestations on other bases across the country. So Mike Pell and I began investigating those reports. And over, I think, about 18 months, the four of us visited 16 bases and interviewed 250 families. Those families had been trying to get the attention of military officials for years to the conditions in which they were living, and without success. And it's only then that they reached out to us out of desperation, really.
So the military turned a deaf ear to these families, is that right?
Yes, they weren't being listened to. Every base had a military housing liaison office, but they had no real authority to intervene. They could beg and appeal to the housing companies to fix the roofs, to clean out the mold, but they had no real authority to make them do it.
After your investigation, has the military responded?
The military responded immediately. As our stories began running, the military, each of the branches, sent out top commanders to every base in the country. And this has never happened on a story I've done before. They reported back that the problems were even worse than we had described. I think so far some 10,000 homes have been reported in need of safety repairs and upgrades based on surveys. And the Senate has passed legislation, and there's legislation pending to give tenants more rights, to provide more oversight of companies, to penalize them financially if they don't fix these problems, and to allow local code enforcers on base. One of the things we found was that, you know, some of the basic tenant protections that civilians take for granted are not available to military families. We talked about Sharon, whose house was overrun by mice. If she was a civilian tenant, she could call the local housing inspector, and the company could be fined and forced to clean it up. But they have no authority on military bases. Legislation that's pending right now would allow them to come onto bases and protect tenants.
How long do you expect these changes will last, and will they ultimately have an impact on future housing for military families? Because and what about the military families that are currently living in these conditions?
The fixes can't happen fast enough for the families living in these conditions. You know, we're talking about young children. These are young families that live on bases. They can't afford to move off base. It costs thousands of dollars to do so. And, you know, kids growing up with chronic respiratory problems can have long-term consequences.
Deborah Nelson is a freelance investigative reporter for Reuters and a journalism professor at the University of Maryland. Deborah, thanks so much for being with us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
We reached out to the Department of Defense, and a spokeswoman sent a statement acknowledging that, quote, there has been a lapse in overseeing implementation of DOD's housing privatization program. The statement also mentioned that the DOD is working on a tenant bill of rights as a first step on improving trust with military families. We also reached out to Lincoln for comment. They disputed the Lamone family's version of events with their mouse infestation. Lincoln also pointed to a survey that showed residents of their military housing rated the company's customer service as exceptional for the fifth year in a row. Find out more at thetakeaway.org.